Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership, where we focus on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. We will be back with you shortly to start this week's show in just a few minutes.
Love it. Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership. In the studio this evening, we have Lori Beth Jones herself.
Hello.
And she'll be leading our discussion later this evening on how to remain in a world of career transition and times of change. We also have Vicki Arteaga representing the business pillar. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you.
And Elisa Holston representing the education pillar. Welcome, Elisa.
Thank you. Good evening.
It's great to be here among friends and feel the energy and excitement around this topic this evening on, Lori Beth, what you have written in Jesus Career Counselor about this topic remain. Quite interesting. I'm looking forward to the discussion as it unpacks and moves us into, I'm sure, another evening of deep thought and penetrating questions from you as the author of this material. So thank you for being with us, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in, and we'll jump right in here on this topic of remain. Talk to us about it, Lori.
Well, remain is in the earth dream category, what I call the 12 dreams of the Holy Spirit, and under earth we have remain, return, and regenerate. Because the earth remains under our ground. We count on it, unless we live in California, to remain fixed under our feet. And as I looked at the concept of remain, it was very challenging for me because being a wind personality type, I think I calculated that I have lived in 17 different houses in 10 cities in the last, 15 years. So I'm always on the move. And
yeah, it was quite interesting to read about that in the Remain chapter.
Right, I have to.
You remain, I'll keep going.
Exactly, I have to start with a confession. But then as I looked at the people and places that provide a stable core for me, like my friend Catherine Calhoun has had the same phone number for the 35 years of our friendship.
I can't even believe that.
I know. And, I count on people to remain for me, even though I'm always in transition, always in motion. My sister is always there for me. You know, my brother's always there for me. So sometimes remaining is not so much a geographical place as it is a connection. But it was interesting to me in reading the chapter in John where he's talking about, unless you remain in me, you cannot bear fruit. And I think I counted he uses the word remain. I believe it's John 15.
Yes.
He uses the word remain 10 times in 4 sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Remain in me, remain in the vine. And so it's more, particularly for people who are in career transition, to keep their eyes fixed on their connection to Christ and remaining in Him no matter what is going on all around you is the way to continue to bear fruit, even though the rains may come, the storms may come. You can remain in Him just as He remains always there for us.
So like a root system.
Yes.
We need a, in this earth section of the book, I think you refer to it a few times about this, the roots that go deep.
Right, and I think that there's a lot of people who are like popcorn. They treat jobs like popcorn and relationships like popcorn, always popping from when it gets hot, they pop to the next place until it gets hot, and then they pop to the next place, and thinking it's always going to be better somewhere else. And yet, when you look at the watchman in the Jewish culture, and certainly in the nomadic tribes, that watchman that stayed on the watchpost at night was the one that could save the village. What of the night, O watchman?
Mm.
I remember singing that hymn in church for years. It made me think of two of the CEOs I've had the privilege of working with. Both of them have been in their posts, one for almost 40 years and another one for 35 years, and they have remained faithful. Even though they're extremely talented, they're still at the same post, and they've allowed their roots to grow deep in the community and indeed the nation
right.
with their fixed leadership on connection to Christ.
Hmm. Very interesting. We're going to unpack that as we move forward tonight, I'm sure. So, other thoughts as we break open the bread tonight?
I was wondering, knowing you as a wind and knowing your love for exploration and seeking new adventure and tasting new things, talk to us a little bit about the importance of remaining. And why was it important for you to write this chapter about remaining? How does it resonate with the overall theme of the book in terms of the Jesus career counselor? And how does that speak to those of us who aren't Earth and it's not our natural tendency to remain?
Right.
And what does remaining look like for a wind? I know I asked a million questions in there. Just pick one.
Just pick one.
As always.
Right. Well, to remain for a wind is to maintain that connection and always keeping connected to the source. So it doesn't have to be a geographical place. And we talked, I believe, last week about returning, how it's a theme in Scripture, it's a theme in literature, to return home, come home to me. So to remain, it doesn't mean that you have to stay where you are and be bored, remain in the job that you're in necessarily. It's a state of mind of remaining in Christ. And it may be that God is calling you to remain where you are, even if it is a little uncomfortable, because your job is important to the community at large. You know, certainly the night watch is the loneliest, and it's easy to doze off and get distracted and think of other things, but that's when the community itself is most vulnerable. So it could be that God is calling you to remain at your post for the sake of those in the city. Literally and figuratively.
You talk, you know, in other chapters we've talked about, you know, when Jesus says, you know, if they don't accept you, just, you know, dust, wipe that dust off your feet and keep moving. And so how does one discern, you know, a challenge from rejection and infertile soil and the need to move on and to not remain in one place?
Well, I think that it goes to the personality type. So the fires and the earths are most likely to remain, because it's in their nature to stay still and to be firm, particularly if they're convinced they're right. For the winds and waters, it's like, well, we can just keep moving. You know, there's no need to be here. But I think you asked the question last week, too, with the same theme. How do you know when to stay and when to go? It's a great song, isn't there? How do I know when
did
I go? So that's a matter between you and the Lord and Scripture and guidance. And but certainly I don't believe that you need to remain in an abusive situation, mm-hmm. whether it's in a relationship or in a company. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody needs to put up with that. There's always someplace else to go, and there are certain things you can do to make sure that that does not continue.
And I was talking to someone yesterday on a conference call, a good friend, that they didn't really have the choice to remain. They were voted to leave a situation,
mm-hmm.
even though they felt they had been called to that post to remain for a good period of time. You know, so sometimes even though you feel that you should remain, other people, you know, vote a different direction, and then there you are off, you know, off balance. You find yourself off balance
right.
in a situation where you thought you were going to remain for a long time.
Right, voted
so
off
tricky.
The island.
Yeah, right.
Well, certainly Jesus was voted off the island.
Mm-hmm. More
than once in his own hometown and with his own family members and certainly with the religious leaders at the time. So that's a very familiar feeling to the Lord. It doesn't mean that you are not worthy. Certainly if we look to him as the example, it means that the people are not ready to receive you for whatever reason. So,
and why is it sometimes, Lori, that even when we see that Jesus modeled or even experienced something similar to ourselves, that we still really don't get it? We still don't believe it, or we still kind of wander around that. You know, why is that as humans that we do that? If I mean, in your work, you've used Jesus as a leader for a long time, and obviously your leadership and the way that you ride and your message and your ministry and your teaching shows up in the way that you live that out. And I believe it's very real in how you do that. But for us that are just learning how to live like Jesus or be like Jesus, you know, looking at that model of leadership, you know, sometimes it say, did Jesus really feel that? You know, was he kicked off the island and how did he feel about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I just kind of pause in those moments and think that way because I'm not really, it's not the first place I jump to.
Yeah, I was in researching this leadership series that I'm about to write for a major denomination. It was interesting about water, and they talked about the prophet was lowered into the well, and the prophet was lowered into the mud. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now that is a very symbolic picture, that sometimes you're not only voted off the island, they throw you in a well and your feet get stuck in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows where you are, and you will be lifted out, lifted up. The Redeemer, the Savior, will lift you out of that situation. But just because you're a prophet doesn't mean you're not going to end up in the mud. And just because you're in the mud doesn't mean you're not a prophet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I found sometimes that the fact that you are in a fork in a road, mm-hmm. and you have to choose either to move or to stay, to remain. If you choose to remain, you're in prayer or something, and God is telling you, you know what, just stay still. You will be amazed of what things happen. And then when you look back, you understand why you have to stay. Maybe in the moment it's hard or confusing, but then you see why he whispered at your ear, just remain, just
mm-hmm.
hold tight. I'm working these events
yeah.
here, or I'm working something somewhere else, but mm-hmm. it's not ready for you to move there.
Right, right.
I think that you know, in kind of answering Shelby's question, answering my own question as well, thinking about it, I think that, you know, looking at Jesus, and when you paint Jesus, you paint him as the perfect leader. In your previous book, GCO, the Omega Leader. And when you talk about the elements, he's a perfect, combination of the elements. And I think sometimes what may hinder us is our element, not understanding ourselves in
mm-hmm.
our element. So for me, as a fire, double fire with a lot of earth, it's a real natural state for me to remain. I'm not adverse to risk. That's the fire. But I'm also tenacious, and if I'm on a path, on a mission,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to see it through, come hell or high water, you know. And God doesn't whisper in my ear to move on. He has to knock me up upside the head to get
right.
me to move on. But he does.
Right.
I mean, when it's time for me to switch courses, to move on, when I look at every, fork in the road or tangent, in my career, it's God had to make me absolutely miserable and unbearable where I was for me to get the message
mm-hmm.
that I was no longer to remain in that spot. And that was my message then, to move on to the next challenge, to the
That's
next adventure.
Great point. And maybe, Laura, you could address that a little bit, because you already have said it's really elemental in what we're talking about, because if it's easier for me or Elisa to remain, then we might become what in our remaining?
Well, stiff-necked people.
Yeah,
sedentary.
Yes, sedentary.
Unwilling to change.
Inertia,
yeah.
Rationalized.
Mm-hmm. So that's another side of, maybe a different conversation, but it is interesting when we look at it through the eyes of the elements.
Well, it's really fascinating and I'm doing a whole section about how Jesus addressed different people based on their elemental makeup, and that's probably a topic for another situation, because it's not necessarily about remaining. But, you know, I think about my dog, Roo, and if I tell him to stay, it could be that I'm testing him. It could be that there's a car coming nearby.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that I want to see if he will obey me more than he wants that carrot.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's just a test, because in a critical situation, if I yell stay, I need to know that he will do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a term that I read that really struck me, and it was called, I can't remember the writer, but he said it was inertia realized. And so when I talk about the Song of Deborah and how the tribe of Dan, or the different tribes. Maybe Dan was the one that responded, but there were certain tribes that there was much prayer and searching of heart, but they never went into battle.
Mm-hmm.
And Deborah lamented that fact and said, oh, much searching of heart. So some of it really wasn't obedience, it was fear.
Analysis, paralysis.
Yes, analysis, paralysis.
Well, it goes back to motive. Maybe it all, what I'm hearing goes back to motive.
Right.
Why are you not, why are you remaining, or why are you itching to move on?
Yes, because Gideon was remaining
right in
the wine vat, and God said, get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really knowing. Jesus said, I know my own, and my own know me. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. So you have to cultivate that to be able to discern when is it that God's telling you something and when it's just your own emotions.
And you had a great point in this chapter, and I believe you alluded to it this week, maybe in a blog or something else. But it was in this chapter, too, I believe, about if you have to leave, you know, remain in Christ.
Right.
So even in our leaving, what you're instructing is that, you know, Christ is this guiding light. It's this guiding force. You know, it's the light on the path.
Right.
So if you leave, still have this with you.
Exactly. And in the book, I looked up the word wait on the Lord.
Hmm.
There were something like, I don't know, 65 examples in Scripture where we are told to wait and be renewed. Those who wait on the Lord will rise up with wings like eagles. And so I think God understands spiritual exhaustion. Jesus, when the disciples went out and came back, the first thing he said to them was, you must be very tired.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say, okay, I want your report in on my death Monday morning. I don't care if you have to stay late to do it. You know, so there is a time to, when you're spiritually exhausted, to just remain and to say, I don't know what to do, so maybe it's best to just wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's an active waiting. It's not just like...
Very good point.
It's not just wasting time or just getting bored there waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the key to know if it's the right time to move or not is to be connected with the vine. And it's even if we are waiting, we're waiting with him.
Good point. Beautiful.
And he is entertaining us. He is making us mature in that waiting. He is making us reflect about why we're waiting, or making us ready for the next move. Or, you know, there's so many things that can happen in the remain that is not a passive thing, I think.
Beautifully said. It's like the fruit that in this book that Vicki and I did together, she did the layout on, I have a picture of my sister's farm, and there's a pear ripening on the tree. And so the farmer knows not to pick it before it's time. It must remain on the vine in order to get sweet and full. But a lot of people do not have the discipline to wait. I want a pear, I see it, I'm going to grab it right now. And then it doesn't taste right.
Mm.
So we have to be aware of the season of things.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was reminded, I faced a lot of people who would like to remain but didn't have the choice to remain in their employment. But even, and the challenging thing about the industry where I am is that, you know, they know for 6 months that they won't be back the following year.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, they're still called to remain in spirit and in an effort and in motive and an attitude for that time. And I was just kind of coming back maybe to some of the context that Jesus Career Counselor, that sometimes, you know, a lot of the people who are reading this book might wish they could remain, but are in a position where they can't remain. But even that time of transition, I think just the attitude of remaining and the attitude and the ethic and the work ethic and what they invest will have long-term benefits for them, just on a practical level, but certainly on a personal and spiritual level as well.
Exactly, and that's a very good point. And I noticed that when Jesus is talking about the blessing, he says, if you go to a house and they will not receive you, then you are to leave. But the prophet's reward will go with you.
Right.
Meaning that you won't have lost anything through their negativity.
Now, if they receive you, they get the prophet's reward.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, it's transferable to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no lost time. All the years in Egypt and all those things, God is the Redeemer. And back to the chapter on restoration, He is the restorer of lost years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know, that's beautifully said.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot to think about.
Even this chapter caused me to reflect an awful lot. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just the whole idea, the spiritual remaining and the physical remaining and the stability that provides and the many different faces that it has. And I think
mm-hmm.
the power that holds for someone, I think especially in a state of transition, the ability to have a place to remain.
Yes.
And maybe the old places where they did remain don't exist, but finding ultimately Christ to remain in family, connections, friends, etc.
To be centered. You know, that's
yeah.
I think that's the thing when you I was watching some ballet dancers about an hour ago while some friends of mine were looking at bikes, and I noticed how they were spinning and that they just stayed centered. Even though they were in motion, there's a gracefulness in being centered. And
mm-hmm.
I was reading about one of the men in Obama's administration that was trained as a ballerina. In fact, it's one of his right-hand men.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a picture of him in the paper, and he was standing reading the paper, but he stood with such poise, even just knowing how to center his body even when he was reading the paper, standing against a wall. So in a way, we're all called to be that poised with the Lord, that we do not get knocked off balance. That's the same thing about the winds. Why are you like your faith is up and down, rolling
mm-hmm.
like the winds and the waves, when, you know, to stay centered. And really, Job, that was the message of Job,
mm-hmm.
the central message of Job. Even though he slay me, yet will I praise him.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it's Christ who remains. I mean, we are called to remain in Christ, but regardless of what we do, Christ will remain with us.
Yes.
You know, when we were traveling in Scotland several years ago on the John Wesley tour trail, we ended up in Scotland, and I remember there, and I don't remember the name of the person or the dog, but there was a story of this man who had owned this dog. And the man had passed away. And the dog would go every single day.
They made a movie of it. Yeah.
And sit at his gravesite. And that dog remained with his master. And I think it's a beautiful picture of what we are called to do, just
mm-hmm.
to constantly remain with our master in spite of the circumstances, how bleak it is for the dog. He's not getting any feedback, but yet he had a sense that he knew that that's where his master's
right.
soul was. There was some sense of his master there, and that's where he chose to remain, and that's what we're called to do, is
yes.
remain with our master.
That is beautiful.
And sometimes you remain with a group. So, for example, if everything is in movement, it helps to have like an accountability group, a support
mm-hmm,
group,
mm-hmm.
that helps you, as you mentioned, your friends, you know, your best friend is always there, so you can come back. And just having that system of support that you know that you can go back or remain, like a time out, like going to the bench and just take a rest.
Yes.
So you're ready for the second half or whatever it is.
That's beautiful. It's like watching those the Earth program, and it was just fascinating when you see the herd of antelope or the wildebeest take off,
mm-hmm.
and you know the lion, and I hate watching those scenes, and sure enough, one of them takes off away from the herd, and it's like, no, you're going to get picked off, and so that's what they try to do, is create confusion so that someone takes off in a different direction on their own,
mm-hmm.
but the ones that stay in the herd stay safe. And with fish, there was in the ocean,
mm-hmm.
that when they're under attack, they start swirling. It's just beautiful to see.
And the shape that they
give. Oh, it's organic moving sculpture. It's just,
I saw the
same.
Yeah.
We saw the same thing.
It's life, no?
Yeah, to see God reflected in nature, how exciting and beautiful.
So what about folks that don't have a relationship with Christ? They don't have this wheel within a wheel mentality. They don't know what it means to remain in the vine. maybe they listen to this show, Lori, and accidentally stumble upon this topic tonight. How do they remain?
Well, just ask. I mean, that's the beauty of this Lord that we worship, is that he is ever present, right? And so it could even be a prayer, Lord, I don't know who I am. I don't know where you are. I don't know where I'm going. But I just ask you to come into my heart and be with me and have me conscious of your presence and let me seek you out and make you my goal. And it would be amazing to experience that. You know, I'm thinking of a verse in Scripture, and I cannot cite the the reference, but it's one of my favorites, and it says, "For me, the reward of virtue is to see your face and to gaze my fill on your likeness." The reward of virtue is to see God's face and to gaze my fill on his likeness. Well, we can do that anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere, anytime, 24/7. God, we have an accessible God, not in a temple, not on a mountain, not that we have to crawl on our knees through bloody gravel to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Ever present, always with us. A pilot light to be lit in our hearts and above our heads. And that's what's so beautiful. We do not have to go up to the mountains, because he's right here in the valleys of our hearts.
And if they don't believe in Christ, can they start by just going inside, deep in their core, and see what are the values that are important to stick to remain and all that, and hopefully that will open a door, because I think God is so creative that he can use anything, any circumstance, and all that, to listen to that voice, to be prompt to prayer, or just to be there by the time that God has the touch or the special go.
Yeah, that's beautifully said, really. And, you know, if I think when people do say that they just go inside, the challenge there is if your core is fear. If you are in fear and you are spinning your own wheels, then that's when you have to reach out and reach up. And and I think it happens to the best of us. Even a couple of nights ago, I woke up and I was so anxious, and just a close friend of mine is in dire financial straits, and it, you know, it just gave me anxiety. And I was going through some of the research that I'm doing for the leadership series, and it was on the water section, and it said, "You will be like a constantly watered garden." And it, even just reading the word, was like, God is going to keep watering me. Not in a sense of special selectivity, but the nature of God is to keep watering the garden. So it really helped me, because I went into a space of fear. And to go and read words that have been written for thousands and thousands of years to bring comfort.
Beautiful. Wow. Well, we've got less than a minute. 90 seconds to be exact, to wrap this up this evening. It's been a great conversation, everyone, to, you know, look at this word. I think it's an interesting word, and I'm wondering if, you know, out of these 12 principles in the book, which you call the 12 dreams of the Holy Spirit, if there won't be one or two. I know they're all going to be significant, but, you know, there's going to be maybe one or two that just really stand out. So it'll be fun to grapple with all those, and as the book continues to sell and gets into the hands of people. But wrap this up for us tonight, if you will, and on this topic of remain.
Well, as I'm sitting here thinking, I'm breaking the word in two, R-E, and then main. So what is the main thing? To your point, what is your main purpose in life? What is the most important thing to you? Read it. Do it again. Get back to it.
Nice.
So to remain is to a reminder, a reminder, you know, to get back to what is important. And I really think, as a wind, and for those winds out there who are thinking that to remain...
There's hope.
Yeah, there's hope that to remain means to be bored. To remain in Christ is to gaze your fill upon his likeness, and that's a place that I would like to remain forever. So thank you so much for listening tonight, and blessings to you all, wherever you may be.
Thank you, Lori Beth. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
See you next week.